I'm here. Prince William. What am I? Prince of Wheels. HRH William, Prince of Wheels.
Sorry.
Slow car.
Well, you can blame whatever you like.
I'm here.
I got changed and ready because look at what I'm wearing. We'll talk about this later today. How are you, Duncan?
Alfa Romeo, yes.
Aside from being late, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm almost out of breath, but otherwise good. His Royal Highness. Prince of Wheels. How are you, sir?
Good. All the better for seeing you eventually.
Yeah. Sorry to keep you waiting. I hope you weren't running out of beverages and food.
Not a transition. No, you're absolutely right. Water and sunflower seeds. There we go.
So as they say on the internet, S01E02.
S01E02. There we go.
Yep. Episode two of What's in Wheels, where we talk crap about cars for half an hour and someone pays us, apparently.
Does someone pay us? Really?
No, maybe not. Sorry to get your hopes up.
You let something slip here, Duncan, that I'm not too sure that I'm fully on board. I shall have you executed.
Oh, dear. Hung, drawn, and quartered from the castle walls.
I don't know what powers princes have, but yeah.
They can put heads on spikes and things.
Oh, goodness, no, let's not do that.
I can put my head on a spike above your Alfa Romeo Electrica.
There we go. Mm. What a car. Mm. We'll get into it.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah. What are we talking about today?
We've got a lot on the...
Have a look
on
my phone where my show notes are.
On the go, but I think we're kicking off with a little...
Also, is it Auto Week again?
Back. Let's go back to Auto Week just briefly, and then we'll leave it for next all
year.
Time. Yeah, for next year. It was interesting, just the Chinese presence at Auto Week.
Were they all there, the big Chinese brands?
No, not really, but Chery was there.
Chery,
And Tony Liu from Chery was talking a lot about what's happening, specifically, obviously, with the fact that Chery wants to start manufacturing, as we discussed.
Chery's by far the biggest Chinese brand in this market, right?
I think so, yeah. Quite comfortably so. It's between them and Haval that are GWM, in other words, they're the two that occupy
the top spots. Of course, GWM.
So it's interesting. So when you talk about Chery manufacturing here, then they're selling 2,500-3,000 cars a month or whatever it is. It's not enough to really justify full scale manufacture. But as we know, the Chinese play a long game. Mm-hmm. So I suspect what might actually happen is that they might take over a factory here, do SKD, and build into that, as we discussed last week. But what I think might happen is it might not just be Chery in that factory. Mm-hmm. There may be a few GWM things coming off a separate line under the same roof.
Oh, right.
It makes sense to maximize the utilization of a otherwise underutilized factory capacity. Mm-hmm. And the question, of course, is which factory? Mm-hmm. So,
it's one in East London, I hear.
There's I don't know if bike will be selling. We'll see. But we all know that Nissan is in trouble.
Yeah.
We know that Merck are doing something. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's happening with Merck yet. I did ask.
That's the line I'm thinking of, yes.
But it may be that the Merck line is very sophisticated, very automated, but German. Mm-hmm. And so to translate that across into Chinese may be a step too far.
Oh,
it may actually cost them too much to translate that into their Chinese assembly. So maybe, we don't know. We'll see as things pan out. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather see Nissan staying and
where's Nissan's factory?
A new one. They're based in East London, I think. Pretoria.
Of course, this is in Pretoria. Pretoria. What do they make here?
We're going nuts in our old age here. Navaras. And then, of course, the other new factory being talked about is Stellantis.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Stellantis announced this some time back, and they've done basic civil works on their site down in PE, Kabacha. And, of course, the things have changed somewhat since they announced that. We've had Mr. Trump changing the landscape entirely. We've had the Chinese tearing up the playbook and ripping everything apart and changing the landscape completely. And Gerald Stellantis now have to sort of adapt and adjust to this. And, when you're putting in an automotive factory, which is several billions of rands to go into that, you don't just change things there are big implications in terms of what you're going to be doing. And Stellantis is originally going to be making the Landtrek, so they're going to be assembling Buckies only. But I think that ship has sailed. I think they are going to have to, if they continue to build this factory out, the line will have to include a whole bunch of different
vehicles. Atlantic can't be a big selling car.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think they pinned their hopes on, and it hasn't really panned out the way in terms of
and the sales. Chinese are getting into it now.
Like I said, the Chinese have come along and ripped up things, and of course, Mr. Trump with his
tariffs
and things have changed everything else. So it'll be interesting to see what Stellantis actually does do with that factory. I suspect, just between you, me, and these three walls, that they might just get it dusted, put on the shelf for a year or three whilst they pan out to see what actually translates into it. We'll see. Mike.
Plus, are they even thinking about it, though?
Well, you know, and they've bought the land and they've started the civils, so you know, it's definitely the commitment to say. So it's just a question of how they get to execute now.
Where exactly are they building this?
It's down in the automotive development zone, or down in Kuche,
okay,
in Kabaha. Next to the deep water port, so it makes sense for an export point of view.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay.
And that's the last thing I will say about NAMSA, or SA Auto Week 2025.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about Chinese PHEVs.
Aren't those interesting?
Because I went to test drive a couple of them the other day out of curiosity.
Can I get something off my chest?
Sure.
We're going to be talking a little bit later about the new Leapmotor C10 PHEV coming in.
Reeve, actually.
That's what I want to get off my chest. Reeve, so this REEV, range extender EV versus plug-in hybrid EV.
Very similar.
It's a bunch of hooey. It's marketing nonsense.
Oh?
I suspect that I am farting against thunder in this particular matter, because I could see that REEVs, it's just going to stick.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's the same thing. All that's different is the powertrain. All that happens in a range extended electric vehicle is you have a petrol motor that powers a generator that feeds electricity
to the batteries
that feed the wheels.
Right. Whereas in a PHEV,
engine generates electricity via generator to feed into the battery to feed the electric motors that power the wheels. And there's a little bit of forward motion from the engine into the propulsion of the car.
Yes.
Still haven't worked out how they do it in the Shark, when it kicks in, when it doesn't. But to try and separate that very subtle distinction between a PHEV and an REEV, honestly, I think is stretching it a bit. They all just plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
They've got petrol engines on them. That's it.
Yeah.
But the concept around them is that, of course, it takes away the range anxiety.
As a consumer driving one, you're not going to know the difference. Unless someone tells you.
Quite.
Yeah.
Quite. You're never going to know when that petrol engine is actually making you go forward.
Yeah.
And the amount that, for what I understand, the amount that it actually, the amount of power it generates to go into your go forward motion is minimal. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you talking about the cars you went to.
So I was so late for our podcast today that, Tadek, I didn't have time to source the images, so you're going to have to find them online and pop them on the screen now during this discussion. But I had the opportunity to go and have a look at the Haval H6 GT PHEV. I had to read that. It was so long. and I then hopped across the road to a dealership across the road and test drove the Omoda C9. I think it's called the SHS PHEV, something like that. Both very, very interesting vehicles. So the Haval H6.
I'd love to drive one. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
It's a fantastic car. Now, I didn't get a chance to drive it because the one that I was meant to test drive that morning had been sold at 5 p.m. the previous day. And I wasn't – luckily let me sit in it, but I wasn't to do anything else with it.
Okay.
but it's very, very nice looking. It's a little bit – maybe a little bit big for my liking. It's very tall and – lots of things sticking out of it.
You drive a Raptor. Oh, what do you complain about size from?
That's true. But this Busted. Is an SUV that Busted. Looks true. All right, I'll shut up now.
It is a big car, is what you say. I agree.
I didn't get to drive it, but and on it paper it looks amazing. And it's got vehicle-to-load support as well, so that you can have a slice of toast. You're on the side of the road, N3, as one
make
does.
Make your own coffee. Exactly.
Exactly. seriously, you can, civilized, yes. You can plug your house into it if you want and run some basic, I wouldn't say appliances, some basic equipment.
I just wanted to point out the one thing we didn't mention last week about the little Dolphin Surf is that it also has VTL.
Wow. In a tiny little car like that, that's amazing. But the battery in that can't be that big.
It's about 38 kilowatts, I think, somewhere around that. So, you get 3 kilowatts of
It's still useful. I mean,
but it's there.
You know, a lot of people have got these EcoFlow and other batteries that they carry around, typically like a kilowatt or so, maybe a 2 kilowatt battery. Nice to charge one of those up from your car when you need to, and just take it back into the house and do whatever you need to do.
And it's just all cars should have it. All EVs should have it.
And in the country where there is an unreliable supply of electricity, although touch wood, it's been a lot better lately.
It has been a lot better, thank you.
You could take your EV, drive it to a charging station, top it up, takes an hour or two, back home, charge up what you need to do, and carry on.
100%.
So yeah, VTL is a wonderful tech.
It is absolutely.
It's a wonderful tech. And it is the only downside I could find in the Omoda C9 PHEV.
Didn't have it.
Okay. No support for it. Not that I could find. And the guy who's helping me at the dealership, I won't mention the dealership, didn't know what VTL was, so I presume the car doesn't support it. But all that said, the Omoda C9, which costs R999,999.99, let's call it a bar, is beautiful. What a beautiful drive. This is Q5, Audi Q5 level refinement.
Okay.
Smooth, quiet, comfortable, very fast, very fast. Twin motors, or I think there may even be tri-motors in this vehicle. I forget. I think it might have three motors in it, in the top-of-the-line version, which I think is the only one they range in South Africa. But beautiful car, so comfortable. So, and the use of LED lighting as well is very – in many cars, it's like RGB flashing lights. Yeah, it's very Chinese.
Exactly.
It's too.
Yes.
No, this is very refined. You know, there's a
understated elegance.
Understated. And also, in some expensive German sedans, you also get these fragrances that you can choose from in the vehicle as well. It has that. You've got three different fragrances that you can choose from, or you can switch it off. So it's very luxurious for under R1 million. What you're getting, what you're getting, and you can probably get them to talk, you'll probably talk a dealer down to about 950 or so. What you're getting for that R1 million is a lot.
Outrageous.
It's the
Chinese recipe all over again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Throw you a lot of value.
Yeah.
A lot of toys.
And amazing warranties as well for the first driver.
Yeah.
So I forget exactly what it was on their motor, but it's crazy stuff. It's like 1 million kilometers on the engine and unlimited kilometers on the battery, that sort of thing. I'm not getting that entirely right, but the warranties are incredible, except when you sell the car to the next owner, then they fall away.
Yeah, but BYD were talking about lifetime warranty on the battery for first owner.
Which is great, but it must kill the after sales value.
Well, I think that's great. We can all get into really cheap EVs that way. I'm a big fan of plummeting after the market. I mean,
it's true.
That market is going to change. It already is starting to shift overseas, and the big bargains of going and buying your Taycan Turbo S at a third of what they cost new are rapidly going away. It seems. I don't know. But that for me is one of the understated bargains of vehicle purchases, the second-hand EVs. And as our market matures, we're going to see more and more of that coming through. But it will normalize. There's no doubt about it. As people become comfortable, the battery is actually going to outlast the car.
Yeah.
But the point you make about the power of these plug-in hybrids is not to be scoffed at. It's immense. It's absolutely immense.
I'm convinced. I'm sold on this concept of the PHEV. I think it's perfect for the South African market.
Yeah.
So many South Africans are still, and I think justifiably so, are worried about range anxiety. They go on holiday in December. They've got kids in the back seat screaming. They arrive at some charging station in the middle of the Free State. Now they've got to sit there for an hour and a half, or they've got to sit there for longer because it is the middle of December and there's three cars in front of them. So now they've got a 6-hour wait because they can't carry on because they need to charge their car. That South Africans are not going to like that.
We can't ignore that is, without doubt, something that is.
And the plug-in hybrid model solves that because for your normal city commute, like the Omoda C9 has a claimed 150 kilometer range from a 34 kilowatt hour battery. That's brilliant. You can go to all your meetings, even in a big city like Johannesburg, go to and from the office, go out to a couple of meetings, head home, still have plenty of range left. Plug your car in again. You've used no petrol at all. So most of the time, you're not going to be using any petrol. So you're getting all the benefits of an EV, but you can still top it up and drive to Cape Town.
You're reading my mind. So if we can talk about the new Leap Motor C10 that's just launched.
I actually have a picture of that one.
Which is just launched.
There we go.
There it is there.
And this is just don't call it a Reeve.
It's what they call a Reeve, what the rest of us will call a PHEV. But this is one where you have an electric generator on board that does not power the wheels. It powers purely the electric motors.
I drove this in Spain earlier this year.
Yes.
You had a chance to drive it down Cape Town, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's...
what are your thoughts?
It doesn't have all those annoying bongs that you suffered from.
Yeah.
So the intrusiveness of the safety systems has been dialed back somewhat.
Yes, there was a certain South African motoring journalist who I'm not going to name, who was on the trip with me, who let's just say there was a string of F-bombs every time this ADAS system kicks in.
Willem, if you're listening, you're famous.
But IOL, cough, cough. Well,
you said journalist. you're going to get sued. It was remarkably bong free. So obviously they've listened and applied South African thinking to this thing and dialed it back a bit. I have to say that dear old Greg from Accenture, who's busy doing some work with Stellantis on these cars, says that with his wonky mathematics. And he and I have got to sort some mathematics out because, you know, accountants, or I think he's an accountant or something along those lines, they don't understand mathematics and basic engineering mathematics. He's convinced that engineers don't understand mathematics. So we need to have a discussion around it. But
sounds like we need to get him on the show and have
a we must get him on the show. Anyway, his indications are that although it's got a claimed range of 1,000 kilometers on a single tank of fuel, that they can get up to 2,500 Ks on a single tank of fuel in the mixed urban cycle. And I actually wrote...
Sorry, did you just say 2,500?
That's what Greg claims.
Okay.
I, on the other hand, Prince of Wheels, threw down the gauntlet to Stellantis and said, what are you talking about, a pissy 2,500 Ks? I'll do 5,000 Ks on a single tank. And they were like, how are you going to do that? I said, just give me the car. You can seal the fuel tank. You can weld it shut. And I will give it back to you with 5,000 Ks on the clock, and that tank will not be empty. And they're like, how are you going to do that? I said, that's between me and the vehicle. It's got nothing to do with you, but that's what I will do. And I will do absolutely nothing special other than what you've just said. It will be plugged in all the time. And I'm pretty much... knowing my driving routine will mirror, I do a lot more mileage than the average. I will still not use fuel out of that vehicle. So anyway, credentials in a recent economy test that we had at the car club with the MG car club. I have a 21-year-old MG ZR. It's a 2-door hatch, 1.8-liter fuel injected motor, 16 valves, 160 horsepower, manual. And we did an economy run over about 160 Ks. What do you think my fuel consumption was in litres per 100 on that economy run? 21-year-old car, 1.8 litre, 160 horsepower motor.
9.5 litres.
No. Three.
Is it your driving style?
It was actually 2.8. I had to round it up to 3 because no one would believe me. So it is possible to drive very economically. It is not fun, but it is possible. And I probably need to replace the starter motor on the vehicle, which will give you a hint. But the way that this thing is engineered, 145-kilometer range with off a 30-something-odd kilowatt-hour battery is exactly what you're going to use. On a busy day, you might do 120, 140 Ks, possibly.
Yeah, it's a compelling package.
That's it. And I cannot see how anyone's ever going to use any petrol on this thing, unless they're going down to Cape Town or Durban.
Makes a lot of sense. It's not the most exciting looking thing, though, is it?
It comes in interesting colors. So you've got white, green, and what I call drab. And drab applies to all cars these days. It's dull silvers, the dull greys, the baby boff browns. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah. And then 90% of South Africans buy them in white anyway.
And that's a metallic white. It is lovely. In terms of the lines, yeah, it's a bit boring, but you know,
it looks in pictures, it looks smaller than it is.
It's quite a big car. Mm. There's a lot of space in it.
And it's heavy too.
And yeah, no, but it sits well in the road. It communicates reasonably well.
It's Leap Motor. This is their first model in South Africa.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yeah. New brand.
And it's Stellantis. Stellantis, I think, owns a 49% or 51%.
Something.
I think it's 49.
It comes out of China, surprisingly.
It is Chinese, yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
No surprise.
Who would have thought? And of course, being that it's got all the toys, the one thing that I don't like about it is that although the dash looks absolutely amazing because there's not a single button on it,
mm-hmm.
not one. So if you want to adjust your aircon, it has sweeps and flows, and you've got to drag them on your screen. Yeah. So you've got to figure out that you've got to drag.
Yeah.
You need a 7-year-old to be able to set it for you.
So while you're setting or pressing all these buttons and driving off the edge of the cliff.
That's the thing. I think once you've set it, then just forget about it and leave it, and that's where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to adjust the rear view mirror, the side rear view mirrors, you've got to go into menu and do it that way. So that's possibly the niggle I might have with it. I don't know if I'm on the list to get one to drive for a week, so we'll know more about what it's actually like to live with.
Yeah.
But on launch it was frustrating as hell because
it's another one of those cars you buy with your head.
I'm not a 7-year-old.
Not your heart.
No, from a head point of view, it does make a lot of sense. And
exactly. And it's retailing for how much?
Oh,
have they announced it?
800,000.
800. I think that's the figure I heard as
So it's not cheap. It's not cheap, but it's in the zone. Remember, this is a big car.
Yeah.
So this is quite comfortably
with a decent sized battery in
correct.
It as well.
So the small one is 760 and the big one is 799.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of difference between them. The big one basically gives you a powered tailgate, and then there's the enormous roof thing. And I'm kind of like, I don't want the enormous roof, but give me the powered tailgate.
Mm.
And then there are one or two other minor differences between it. It's one of those where I think just buy the big one. Everyone's just going to buy the big one because you know it's just got everything then on it, which is
quite nice. So, where are we going with this?
So if I get 5,000 Ks out of it, then it's super cool. But until I've done 5,000 Ks.
If you remember, by the way, when we spoke about this in season zero, and based on my Spain trip, and I was here.
You were there, yeah.
So.
Well, it's better than your Spain trip.
With the ADAS off, I'd also be cool at that.
Yeah,
so,
cool. Bang.
Cool.
Cool.
Definitely not super cool, though.
No.
It's the cool next car might be.
It's cool because it's the first PHEV without direct drive. Which is my way of saying it's not. It's an REV. It's REV.
All right,
I can tell you it's going to stick.
All right, we're going to start with the buttons on the next one because I think I know where this one's going.
So this is an important.
Just looking at that, I know which one button I'm pressing. So I want to see which button you're going to press.
This is an important car.
Mm.
Okay, so this is
sexy too.
Alfa's first foray since the Tonale. And I'm just going to gloss over the Tonale, pretend it didn't happen. Not that it wasn't a bad car. I quite liked it. It's just they never sold any. And this being Alfa Romeo's EV, the Elettrica, with two Ts, is
– Elettrica.
Elettrica is an important car for Alfa because it's the stopgap now between their Tonale and the Giulia and Stelvio, which are being replaced next year sometime. Hard to believe
with EVs.
Well, we'll see. But apparently with EVs. Julia's 10 years old now.
Sure.
And it's still a wonderful machine to drive.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Except when it's moving in the garage.
This is the thing with Alfa. It's got to be a driver's car.
Yeah.
But it's electric.
Yeah.
And it's front wheel drive.
Now, you took this out.
With a tricked,
just the other day.
With a tricked LSD. Limited slip differential. And
I was wondering if you're talking about the drugs there.
I'm just going to put this here.
Just bash it.
It's working.
Oh, it's working.
Amazing.
Yeah?
Amazing.
Would you buy one?
Hands down if I had the money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's R1 million.
Okay. Ooh.
It's crossed with me. I broke it. The Alfa broke our super cool button. It is absolutely a driver's car. It is one of those, I actually wrote in my article, you put it on. And I haven't had that in a car in a long, long time. It's just
it looks
stunning.
Nice in red.
That's the color to get.
Yeah. What other colors does it come in?
Look at those wheels. It comes in red.
The calipers.
White. just the rims are just spectacular.
Are those run flats?
I asked them, no.
No.
They are EV tires.
Okay.
And you don't get a spare.
No?
You get a pumper.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And some chewing gum.
It's, well, there you go. There's got to be some Italian.
All these EVs are ditching the spare tire, and it's a problem.
It is a problem.
Especially on our roads.
It's exactly that. But I don't know how you change that tire. I mean, I can see the lug nuts and things are there, but tire changing is becoming more and more of a complicated issue.
You might have to use that little bit of boot space that's left for a tire.
Exactly. Something along those lines. Yeah. And anyway, the 20-inch sprayed on rubber. The handling on the car
is just
lovely. Lovely. Yeah. It's
maybe not the most practical for Joburg.
It's one of those that I would still take it.
Mm-hmm.
Instant love affair.
What is it like to drive?
Stunning.
Yeah? Give us a bit more.
It's 207 kilowatts. Doesn't sound like a lot. But what's remarkable about this vehicle is that when you're on the highway and you're doing your 110 and you want to overtake something,
doesn't do.
It gives you all of it immediately.
At that speed.
There is none of this, you're going fast already, we're going to save some battery, give you some extra range, yada, yada. It says, flatten me. Flatten me. Drive me like you stole me. And it's actually, if you're not prepared for it, it can get you into quite a bit of trouble. There's a hint of torque steer.
This is a pure BEV.
Being front wheel drive as it is. But
is there an all wheel drive option?
The hybrid will be all wheel drive.
Oh, is there a hybrid coming too?
Whether that's coming or not remains to be seen.
So it's only the electric version that's confirmed for now.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting strategy by Alfa Romeo. Why bring the electric version before you bring the ICE version?
You'll have to ask Alfa Romeo that. I'm glad that they did. So the power on the vehicle actually feels like there's a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing just pulls all the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a top speed of about 200, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And the range?
I didn't test that. Claimed 410. Mm-hmm. Real so world.
Probably three.
Real world, about 150, the way you're going to drive it. The way you're going to drive it.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be more than that. It'll be closer probably to 300, whatever. But, yeah. I mean, you know.
It's reasonable.
It's if you want to get 410 Ks out of it, you can.
Yeah.
But it's got a remarkably small battery in it. It's around about 50 kilowatts or so.
Oh.
So they're targeting around about 12 kilowatt hours per 100 Ks.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things in there. First of all, for an EV, it's quite light.
Mm-hmm.
So Alfa Romeo targeting 1,590 kilos.
Oh, that is light for an EV.
Yeah, it is light. Almost perfect 50-50 weight distribution. Tricked out LSD on the front, limited slip differential on the front. Mechanical, mechanical, not electronic. So it's authentic mechanics. Custom Alfa suspension.
Right.
The whole spiel.
Where is it made? Do we know?
In China, I think.
Chinese.
I didn't actually ask too much because I didn't want to know. but so it's
so if it's made in China, it actually might not break down every 10 minutes.
Got
or have bits I had fall to go off there,
it.
Right?
All bits fall off it. Yeah, the old. The
it
old
is an Alfa.
No,
I say this because a friend of mine used to have an Alfa and he was in the garage more than he was driving it.
It's part of owning an Alfa, it's what you do.
But I think his was made in Italy, so that's explained. If it's made in China, maybe it works.
And it was probably, you know, anything from when Alfa started to live around about, I don't know, the late 2010s, Alfas were not exactly renowned for their for their build quality. I mean, either way, MGs or anything at that particular point in time equivalent. I mean, part of the MG Car Club, we have often longstanding banter with the Alfa guys. You know, they carry boxes for their bits. We carry oil rags for our oil, you know, so that's, you know, it is. But the important thing for this car is being an Alfa, it's got to drive like an Alfa, and it does exactly that. And that, for me, is the biggest hurdle that it needed to overcome. So
what does that mean, drive like an Alfa? I've never driven an Alfa.
You're connected to the vehicle.
Yeah.
You are connected.
You feel it.
As I say, you put it on, and you're instantly comfortable with where you are, what it's doing, how it's going to do
it. You become part of the machine.
You become part of the machine. And that's an experience I haven't had since I last drove the Giulia.
All right.
To be honest. Mm-hmm. Or M240i or so. Mm-hmm. Lovely, 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 lovely drive.
That's a nice car. Yeah.
You know, the GT 86, the Toyota. Lovely, lovely. These are driver's cars, right? That's what I really enjoy. And this is absolutely that.
Does it come with bucket seats?
It does. 55K option. Just buy it.
Just for the seats. Wow.
Just ignore it. Put it on. Put it on. Thank me later. Because they're stunning.
I'll order mine now. It looks beautiful.
They are absolutely stunning. So I think I really think that Alpha have knocked it out the park with this one. You know, it's they're niggles. Mm-hmm. They're niggles. The interior is quite plasticky. It doesn't have that million rand feel and stuff.
Cost but, down somewhere.
You know, it's just you don't care about it because when you're driving it, you're happy. You're in a good space. Everything else pales into insignificance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got buttons for things, which is nice. But when you get out of it and you park it and you walk away and you turn around and you look at it, you know you've got the right car. Mm-hmm. And that's what it does. It's got that magic.
It grabs you the moment you even look at
it's
it.
It's got that magic about it, stunning. I didn't expect to be as impressed with it as I was.
Okay. I might go and test drive one of those too.
Loved it.
No idea what car I'm getting next, but I'll take that for a test.
Yeah.
The only problem is I may leave with one.
I don't have that problem, but
Our last segment of today is an interview.
Yes.
A big one, a big fish. He was right here in the studio where you're sitting a couple of days ago.
Yeah, you got to talk to him. I didn't.
Peter van Binsbergen is the CEO of BMW Group South Africa. And we had a very interesting discussion about their Roslyn plant in Pretoria and what they're doing there. We had a chat about, and I got the pronunciation from him right after I butchered it. I call it Neue Klasse. It's actually Neue Klasse.
Neue Klasse. Neue Klasse. Okay, Klasse. There we go.
And we had a good chat about the iX3 that is confirmed coming to South Africa next year.
Fantastic.
And this is the first one built on this so-called Neue Klasse framework, which Mr. van Binsbergen was very, very excited about.
He said, some rave press overseas.
This is the tech, he says, that's going to take the fight back to the Chinese.
Yeah.
So it was a fascinating discussion. We spoke about lots more besides, including the state of the industry here in South Africa, the impact of the Chinese OEMs arriving in this market and everything else. So
can't wait to see it.
Peter van Binsbergen, take it away.
Well done.
We export about 74% of the volume to Europe and the UK. So we need a clear strategy on EVs or NEVs, otherwise we will be left behind come middle of the next decade. And there too, there's been a lot of talk, not enough action. We need a clear policy which will help us transform our local industry to be ready for the new energy vehicle era.
The supply chain, obviously, in automotive manufacturing is very important as well, and there's a whole supply chain that is emerged around the automotive plants that have been built in South Africa, and I'm sure there's a supply chain around Roslyn as well. One of the key components in NEVs or EVs is obviously the battery. Does it make sense for South Africa to be trying to attract investment here in battery production facilities, or is that something that you think is always going to be produced overseas?
I think that's jumping very far into the future.
Okay.
I mean, you're starting with the end product, is the battery. There's many stages before you get to the battery that South Africa could and should be involved in.
Okay.
They call them the precursor stages of battery production. At the moment, none of that happens on the African continent.
And a lot of that involves raw materials, I presume.
Exactly.
Like lithium
and that's where you should start. Start with the raw materials. Do the first value-added steps in South Africa, or in Africa, actually, in the free trade agreement zone. 4.2 billion rand invested in South Africa in the phase of bringing the new X3 into South Africa.
Okay. Now, BMW talks about the newer Klasse?
Neue Klasse,
beg your pardon, which it translates, I think, in English to new class.
Correct.
This new plug-in hybrid X3 that you're manufacturing at Roslyn, is that a newer Klasse vehicle? No. So what is Neue Klasse?
Okay, so Neue Klasse. Neue Klasse is, I think, a key milestone in BMW's modern history. And, and the reason the term Neue Klasse was used, if you look back in history, in the 60s, we launched a range of products called the Neue Klasse. And that was a watershed moment for BMW because we brought a complete new design language, a new platform concept, much smaller cars into the market, a new drivetrain concept, and so on. And that was actually the core and the root of what we offer today, shared driving pleasure or Freude am Fahren. It came from that Neue Klasse, and that reformed our company. It changed totally from that era onwards. In fact, if you look there, the E30's DNA comes out of the Neue Klasse, for example. Okay. The first three series we had here in South Africa.
So you're signaling this is a very important shift.
Very important. That's why it got that name, because this vehicle is not just a new platform for BMW, but it introduces a new era.
So interesting insights there from Peter. I think he's probably under a lot of pressure as well, as all of the Western OEMs are, with the Chinese coming into this market and markets around the world. They are
things in the kitchen. They're good, getting hot.
Smart players, and this Neue Klasse sounds like very interesting tech. So, very much looking forward to the to seeing that technology. He's promised to invite us through to Pretoria or to the BMW head office.
Really,
in the next few months, I think, or sometime probably next year. When the first iX3s arrive here, to go and have a look at them and maybe even drive them around.
We are going to hold him to that because that will be absolutely amazing. Yeah,
but that iX3, I was having a look at it on paper. It's a very good-looking car to start with, but the specs in that thing are incredible. It's 108 kilowatt-hour battery, and they're talking about a range of up to 800 kilometers. So this is proper. This is a proper car.
We're not messing around anymore.
I'm very keen to see the pricing of this. I'm guessing it's going to be around between 1.5 million and 2 million rand. Hopefully, it comes in a bit lower than that, but I'm guessing it's not going to be much below 1.5 million.
I think BMW are going to remain a premium brand for the foreseeable future. Exactly that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted to just touch as we exit on this. Porsche are under some pressure at the moment with their profits plummeting, depending on who you read, anywhere between 90% and 96% over the course of the year, abandoning as they are their EV dreams, or postponing them, shall we say, and refocusing back on ICE and hybrid and that kind of thing. And I actually made a comment on LinkedIn that if I read another post about Porsche losing 90% profit share, I'm actually going to engage in a personal protein spill in irate indignation. I mean, how dare you post this as if Porsche is going to be going away, because a world without Porsche is not one in which I want to live. So they better sort themselves out, and as long as they break even, that's fine. As long as they still survive and keep going, that's all that matters. So
on that thought, on that note, I think it's positive. Let's say negative, but for positive note.
No, Porsche is still here. They're going to be here forever.
On that note, if you've got any feedback for us, wheels@techcentral.co.za is our email address. I hope you're enjoying the show. We are very much enjoying making it. And we've got some excellent interviews and segments coming up in the next few episodes. We've got lots of new cars to talk about, lots of industry developments, and lots of cool interviews. So stay tuned. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed already. We're on YouTube. You can find us also on TikTok and Instagram and all the other platforms. And, of course, you'll find our videos on Tech Central. Go to techcentral.co.za/author/what's-and-wheels, and you'll find us there. I know, full complex URL. I should have probably shortened that before. And don't ask how I know that off the top of my head.
I was just about to say, that was deeply impressive. I would just Google Watson Wheels on Tech Central and hope Google finds us. There you go. Yeah.
All right. Thank you
very much.
Until
I like the delay.
Until next time.
Until next time. Thank you, Duncan.
Chat soon.
Ciao, ciao.